They told us a lone gunman killed Charlie Kirk. That narrative is breaking apart. Investigators now say that trained operatives move through the crowd like a unit. Tight hand signals, coordinated sweeps, and advanced weapons no civilian could possibly be carrying. Not since January 6 has an event been infiltrated with this many spooks. Ballistics teams ran the trajectory and the trigonometry, and the alleged shooter simply couldn't have made the bullets behave the way it did. Then came the CIA spy plane, descending to a dangerously low altitude over the rally the exact moment the shot rang out. And now with flight logs and radar tracking in hand, we can prove it wasn't coincidence. This wasn't chance. It was a script. And in just a moment, you'll hear the recording they never wanted anyone to hear. Before we dive in, let me tell you about an important service that lets you protect your privacy from the deep state. Our partner VP.net isn't just another VPN. It's the next evolution in private browsing, built with unbreakable zero-logging architecture. That means no records, no traces. Nothing for the globalists to snoop on. Visit vp.net/TPV for more information. Charlie Kirk knew he was up against very dangerous people. He'd begun warning anyone who'd listen about the extraordinary pressure being applied. To drop his principles, to bend the knee to a globalist elite that brooked no dissent.
If Bibi Netanyahu, if he does something I don't like, and if I criticize it, am I like a bad Christian?
Absolutely not.
That creates backlash that I don't think people understand.
Those warnings didn't make him paranoid, they made him a target. He began speaking with senior figures within the Trump administration, including RFK, about his fears.
And I had a conversation once with Charlie where we were talking about the danger that we both faced from challenging entrenched interests. And he asked me if I was scared to die. And I said to him, there's a lot worse things than dying. And one of those... the chief among those is losing our constitutional rights and having our children raised in slavery.
Despite the pressure he was under from the deep state and their vested interests, Charlie Kirk declined Netanyahu's offer of financing. And when Bill Ackman, Netanyahu's money man in the US, demanded Kirk bend the knee and attend a re-education camp, he became one of the few public figures in recent times to refuse them on that front as well.
Denied, and what Bibi didn't include there, he declined to go to Israel for, I would describe this as like, you know, re-education camp. You know, we've seen it. You made an uh-oh, but we can help you. You know, we just need you to come out to Auschwitz and take a picture. Yeah. We just need you to come to the Holocaust Museum and take a photo. We just need you to go to Israel and we can make this better. Charlie said no to Bibi. Okay. Bill Ackman, if you would like to dispute that, I would love to hear what you say happened, because our sources and what we have, it's solid.
Now he's dead and nothing adds up. Ballistics experts say that the wound we all saw lines up with an exit trajectory. Not the long-range shot they claim was fired by some jittery liberal college kid who could barely hold a gun. On the ground, investigators spotted individuals in the crowd carrying advanced weapons and tactical gear no civilian has access to. And then there's what some are calling the sink shot. The theory goes like this. Frame by frame, hand signals flash through the crowd at the exact moment a second weapon fires. Almost too perfectly timed to be a coincidence. If that timing holds, it suggests a spotter giving the cue, the shooter pulling a hidden trigger, and the support teams covering the angles. In other words, not chaos at all, but a coordinated operation disguised as a lone gunman.
Counting gang violence.
Great.
Counting gang violence.
Great.
Counting gang violence.
Great.
Counting gang violence.
Great.
Everything points to a coordinated operation, not a lone gunman. As the days pass, more people are stepping forward to question the official story. The viewers of this channel did their job. They sounded the alarm. Because honestly, the whole thing stinks. Listen closely. The more they try to glue the story back together, the harder the gaps show.
The doorbell cam, and maybe that's not accurate, but the doorbell cam showed the guy walking up like a peg leg because he had the gun in the jeans. and that was 11:49. They said he entered at 11:53, but the picture had 11:53 had no. He's walking like a normal human being, and they have not gone to the doorbell. They have not gone to this doorbell thing at all. Why is there not a briefing today? Why did they sit there and the governor pulled the thing? The governor said, no, is anybody going to be arrested? No, there's nobody else. Well, first off, the roommate, everybody on the Discord chat, which they said is evidence, is an accessory to this murder. But Discord, which is a, you know, it's a company with liabilities, responsibility, they came out and said, you're wrong. There's no chat like that. Now, maybe they're lying. I don't know. I would find it unusual that a company would be that bold to say, none of that happened and you're wrong. Why is there not a briefing today? We want to get to who actually murdered Charlie Kirk, not simply who pulled the trigger, the whole part of it. They knew what they were doing. The assassination and murder of Charlie Kirk. We can't have a Jack Kennedy thing. We can't have a grassy knoll. We can't do that. We're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. We have to go through. We have to be relentless in tearing this apart.
Comparisons to the JFK assassination are on point. We are being spooned a narrative that doesn't make any sense. And just like the JFK assassination, the feds and intel operatives were crawling all over the scene, including some who were caught performing Freemason rituals in plain sight. This is called the Coin Challenge, a well-known ritual performed by Masons in public places.
What I'm getting at, though, is if we remove Christian values, which you may or may not be suggesting, what do we replace them with?
I guess my question is more centered around using taxpayer dollars. Well, I guess I can leave with a question. How do you feel about...
...to the lesser, these are all Christian values.
Carrying a Masonic coin is meant to be a symbol, a tangible reminder of loyalty to the lodge and to Masonic principles. But that context matters, because what we saw from these operatives on the ground had nothing to do with loyalty, honor, or service to the US. Whatever principles they were following, they weren't America's. Before we expose the extent of the feds and intel agencies' infiltration of the assassination, let's recap on what we know is being covered up as we speak. They haven't recovered the bullet. They haven't presented any video or photographic evidence of the suspect with the gun, or explained how he assembled and disassembled the weapon while on the run and discarded it in the woods. They haven't presented any pictures or videos of the alleged shooter changing his clothes on the roof, which is contradicted by the photos that have been released. They don't have any physical evidence of the note where the alleged shooter allegedly claimed he would have a chance to take out Charlie Kirk. Turning Point USA staff contaminated the crime scene and removed the camera sitting directly behind Charlie immediately after the shooting. Where is this footage? And Discord disputes the FBI's claim that the suspect discussed his plans for the assassination. If he had, they would have the data to back this up.
And let's get a timeline down. Let's get down so Michael Savage feels better, right? And Steve Bannon says, okay, now I do see the gun. I missed it for the, 2,000 times I watched that video, I missed it because I'm still missing it. And maybe it's accurate, but I don't understand the doorbell. And I got the car wasn't impounded. You haven't rolled up any of the Discord chat. It seems like we're being spoon fed a narrative.
Think you know how deep the feds are in this? Think again. We've got the receipts, flight logs, radar tracks, photos, and the experts who ran the numbers have blown the lid off the official story. Most damning of all, the CIA spy plane's cover is blown and the entire cover story is coming apart. We have the full breakdown coming up, right after this word from our sponsor. I was doing some research online the other day and stumbled on a video from Chuck Norris. Yeah, the Chuck Norris. The guy is 85, but says he feels 50 and still kicking ass. I was skeptical at first, but once I watched the video, I realised the secrets he's spilling are ridiculously simple and completely hidden from the public. It shocked me. He's dodging three toxic foods the system shoves down our throats. Stuff that wrecks our bodies as we age. Big Pharma really doesn't want you to hear about this. I tried it myself, and I'm feeling sharp already. Chuck Norris is giving the information away for free in a no bullshit video. Visit chuckdefense.com/TPV, links below. That's chuckdefense.com/TPV. Watch it now or stay suckered by their lies. Whenever there is an assassination or Black Swan mass casualty event, ask yourself, who benefits? Why did Netanyahu admit that 9/11 was a good thing for Israel? And why has Israel gone on the front foot straight after Charlie Kirk's assassination?
Since Charlie Kirk was assassinated on September 10th, the U.S. government has blocked the Epstein files release, passed an amendment that banned the Pentagon from boycotting Israel, proposed a bill for Marco Rubio to revoke passports for critics of Israel. The House also approved $650 million for Israel's missile defense. And as you just saw there, Marco Rubio visited Israel. And now, once again, there are 250 legislators in Israel at the 50 states, one Israel delegation being serenaded with Somewhere Over the Rainbow, a song known as a Project Monarch trigger for mind control MK Ultra slaves to activate them to do bidding against their will. And this is all totally normal, right?
James Lee made an important point. Monarch-style mind control isn't theory, it's being used right now, shaping how people think and react. We'll unpack the evidence and what it means in a moment. But first, why did a CIA spy plane act like it already knew the script for what was about to happen in sleepy rural Utah?
I wanted to make a quick video and show something that I discovered a few days ago, relating to a particular jet and what it was doing on September the 10th. This particular jet, its registration number is November 1098 Lima. Okay, that is a Bombardier Global 6500 that goes by a call sign in the United States Army and publicly within air traffic communication as Axel 10. Okay, a quick backstory: this particular plane has been outrigged with the United States Army. There looks like a spy program called Athena and Hades. Here's another article that's talking about the Hades program, how it's going to modernize aerial military intelligence. And it's got these these private jets that look like private jets, but are far from private jets. They're spy planes.
This spy plane requested permission from the control tower at Provo Airfield to descend from an incredibly low altitude and surveil the university 3 hours before the assassination.
So we're going to go to the archive data here, and we're going to go back to September the 10th, 2025. And this jet took off from Fort Bliss, El Paso, in Texas, for a destination in Montana under call sign Axel 10 at 7:47 a.m. local time. When the jet gets to the Provo, Utah area, the jet loses significant altitude and speed and communicates with the tower, which I've downloaded that communication, where the pilot identifies himself as Axel 10 and requests a flyby of the Provo Airport to then continue on to its destination in Montana. The tower grants the request, and the jet slows down and lowers to an altitude of 5,425 feet. Okay, I'm going to zoom in. Right outside over the lake of Orem, Utah. Why this is significant is at this very moment, Utah Valley University is right here. This ISR spy jet is right here. It's flying at 118 knots, which is essentially the stall speed, the minimums, at an altitude of actually 600 feet when you take into account Orem's altitude of 4,767 feet above sea level.
After spending 50 minutes on the ground at his destination in Montana, the jet returned to the scene of the crime, just in time for the assassination. And this time, it got even closer. moving at stall speed again and flying even lower.
The jet continues on, and then, once again, as it approaches the Salt Lake Orem Provo area, it requests, it calls to the tower, it lowers, it slows, and it requests for another flyby over the Provo airport. However, at this point, coming home, right here, the timestamp of the jet at this very moment is 12:48 Mountain Time. So Charlie Kirk was assassinated right here at Utah Valley University, a distance that is about 2 miles, where the spy jet is once again flying at this time about 335 feet in altitude and at about 130 knots. This is not where they dispatched something with an emergency order because Charlie was shot and they're trying to get assets in the area quickly. This was set. This was pre-done. And there's really no way to get around the fact that this jet was flying in the area 3 hours and 8 minutes before. I really don't have any explanation for this.
Just like JFK, the feds swarmed the scene, on the ground and in the sky. And as in Dallas, the ballistics tell a different story. The lethal round appears to have come from far closer than the official narrative admits.
So they ordered his execution. It was actually ordered by the policy committee of the Bilderberg Group in The Hague in Geneva, Switzerland, and was carried out by agents of the secret government in Dallas. The man who actually administered the coup de grace was the driver of the car, William Greer. We have a film in beautiful living color that you can actually see with your own eyes. William Greer turned with an assassination pistol in his left hand and shoot the president point blank in the head over his right shoulder. It's incredible that this has been hidden from the public for all these years. But the same film has been shown on television for all these years, but they've always zoomed right in on Kennedy and cut the driver out, so you can never see it. It's the Zapruder film. It was never shown to the Warren Commission. They never saw it.
Will the patsy make it to trial, or will he meet the same fate as Lee Harvey Oswald? Remember, Oswald never got his day in court. Just 48 hours after JFK's assassination, he was silenced by Jack Ruby, a nightclub owner with mob ties and CIA connections of his own. A loose end neatly tied up, and the official story locked in place. Ever heard of Project Bluebird? This was the CIA's first step in the dark world of mind control, the program that paved the way for Artichoke and then MKUltra. Back then, the question was simple. Could a person be broken, programmed, and used to carry out an assassination without even knowing it? The declassified documents say yes. Drugs, hypnosis, and psychological conditioning were all tested to create what some called programmable assassins. And remember, even though they claimed MKUltra was officially shut down decades ago, we now know that the program is still in use today.
The new goal is to cause an individual to become subservient to an imposed control, to the point where he will perform acts against his will and then have no memory of the act. The search for a real-life Manchurian candidate begins. In the Hollywood classic directed by John Frankenheimer, a hypnotized soldier is programmed to assassinate a presidential candidate. Like a clip from the movie, the CIA attempts to create its own Manchurian assassins using hypnosis and drugs.
You create this new identity inside that's hidden from the main part of the person by an amnesia barrier. And then using an access code, you can call out this new identity for whatever mission purpose.
To produce such an assassin, the CIA faces two main challenges: how to induce amnesia, and how to program in new behavior. In 1957, Dr. Ewan Cameron, an eminent psychiatrist in Montreal, believes he has the answers.
The agency sought him out because they had noticed his work, in particular with two techniques, intensive electroshock and what he called psychic driving.
Cameron applies his techniques under the guise of normal therapy.
It's hard to say just how awful and horrendous what Cameron proposed and what our government financed was. It was a three-part technique which started with an effort to wipe out past patterns of behavior. And this was accomplished through the use of particularly intensive, repeated, high-level electroshocks until no more convulsions could be elicited from a patient.
Cameron then plays tape-recorded messages through helmets that are locked to his patients' heads.
Sound familiar? Listen closely. How many of today's mass shooters turn out to have been on mind-bending pharmaceuticals or SSRIs? How many are the kids of intelligence operatives or shadowy federal assets? How many have drifted through institutional care handled by professionals nobody can name? These aren't idle coincidences, they're patterns. All the while, the mainstream media, which is also run by the CIA on behalf of the globalist interests, is busy manufacturing consent, seeding damaging narratives, and covering up conspiracies against the American people. Conspiracies like the JFK assassination and the state murder of Charlie Kirk. Here are the People's Voice. We're determined to continue exposing the crimes of the elite, but we need your help. Subscribe to the channel, tell your friends and family about us, and join the People's Voice Locals community for exclusive and uncensored content. We can't do it without you.